Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
This is from a March 14, 2012, New York Times article. Quote, a Ugandan gay rights group filed suit against an American evangelist, Scott Lively, in federal court in Massachusetts, accusing him of violating international law by inciting the persecution of gay men and lesbians in Uganda. The lawsuit maintains that beginning in 2002, Mr. Lively conspired with religious and political leaders in Uganda to whip up anti-gay hysteria with warnings that gay people would sodomize African children and corrupt their culture, unquote. That lawsuit is ongoing. Now, during the program, we're going to also talk about the 2014 Winter Olympics. Homosexual activists and allies are concerned that Russia has passed a law that prohibits homosexual propaganda that is targeted at teens, and they are convinced it will impact those Olympians who identify as homosexual. My guest today is the target of the gay rights group's lawsuit, Dr. Scott Lively. Now, in addition to being a pro-family activist, Scott is pastor of the Redemption Gate Mission Society in Springfield, Massachusetts, and the center of that ministry is the Holy Ground Coffee House. Thanks, Scott, for being with us.
Good to be here, Diane.
And what do you do in your spare time?
You know, I actually have about 200 different projects going in various different stages, so I'm always doing something.
Yeah.
Including remodeling the house that we live in. When we came here to Springfield, my wife and I came here as missionaries with the purpose of working to re-Christianize a post-Christian city.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved into the most broken down and destitute city of the most morally corrupt state in the Union, and into the worst neighborhood in the inner city, and we bought the most broken down fixer-upper. And we've been living in it and showing the power of redemptive living by our own personal example. So we've turned a house that was so bad the real estate agent wouldn't even go into it, and now it's one of the gems of the neighborhood.
Wow.
And we get praise for it all the time, of course, giving glory to God.
Right. So it hadn't been condemned.
No. We were fortunate in that because it allowed us to be able to do the work without having to worry about the city looming over our shoulders.
Well, that's true, It was definitely an advantage to that. Now, give us a little bit of your background. What got you involved in... I mean, you have the ministry there in Springfield, and you're an attorney. And give us a little bit of your background as to what you've gone through to get here.
Well, I was an alcoholic and a drug addict for 16 years. Started drinking when I was 12, discovered drugs at 14. After years of misery and bondage, I finally surrendered my life to Jesus Christ in February of 1986. Was completely transformed and healed, delivered from my bondage, and the Lord led me into the Christian social activism. And I had been toughened up in my childhood, in my adolescence and early 20s by all the things that I went through. And he needed somebody that was going to be able to stand up on the homosexual issue and not back down, not compromise. And because of what I had been through, I was the right man at the right time.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing for 25 years.
Yeah,
now.
He had prepared you. And it's definitely a tough job, and it's getting tougher every day. But I appreciate your tenacity in the fight and your example. Now, according to homosexual activists and their allies, you went to Uganda for the express purpose of conspiring with legislators there to introduce and pass a kill the gays bill. What really happened in Uganda?
Well, I had the privilege of being the keynote speaker for Uganda's first national pro-family conference back in 2002. Uganda has been a target of the globalists ever since they defeated, to a large extent, AIDS in their country through Christian values. Uganda's been a country in Christian revival of a sort for a long time. And unlike all the other African countries, which have followed the Western model of condom and anything-goes sexuality, the Ugandans attacked AIDS with fidelity in marriage, abstinence until marriage, and they went from having the highest to the lowest AIDS rates in Africa. And the globalists, of course, couldn't put up with that because here someone had shown that their model doesn't work and that the Christian model does. And so they began targeting Uganda to kick start a sexual revolution in this very conservative country as a way to undermine them, make them easier to control, bring them under the, you know, the sort of global socialist model that they're trying to impose. Well, they, as they usually do, they started with pornography, and the Ugandans in 2002 reacted against that with a national conference against pornography and obscenity. And just by divine providence, I ended up being the substitute speaker, keynote speaker for that conference, and then became, according to my adversaries, Al Gore's Current TV labeled me the father of the Ugandan pro-family movement, which
that's a compliment.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I accept it as a compliment. And so I've been working for about 10 years to try to help the Ugandans to prevent their society from being homosexualized, like has happened in our country, in England, Canada, etc. And in 2009, after 7 years of unsuccessfully trying to stop this, you know, the gay juggernaut, and meanwhile, sex tourism having rapidly increased in the country with almost primarily men, homosexual men from Europe and the United States going in and messing with these desperately impoverished boys on the streets, they finally decided they needed to do something, they needed to strengthen their laws. At that time, there wasn't any law written. I really had no idea that they were going to come out with something as harsh as they did, which I never supported. But I went and did a conference there, a three-day conference with two other men, an ex-gay and a man who specialized, who'd written a book called An Ounce of Prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And those were our themes, prevention and rehabilitation. And the fact that when I spoke to the Ugandan parliament, that's what I emphasized, prevention and rehabilitation.
Right.
I asked them not to focus on punishment, but they ignored me and they went ahead and did that anyway. And then I got blamed by the international media for being the mastermind of the so-called Kill the Gays bill, which really is a misrepresentation
of what it actually is. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the background.
Okay, and because of this, and because I mean that bill's the bill is what has never been passed because a lot of it's because of international uproar. But what happened though is the sexual minorities of Uganda or SMUG sued under the Alien Tort Statute, which allows foreigners to sue in American courts in situations asserting the violation of international law. And that says that your actions in, I guess, the beginning of 2009 when you were there, that those actions resulted in the persecution, arrest, torture, and murder of gay men and lesbians in Uganda.
Yeah, of course, that's
I know, that's all bogus. But what is the Alien Tort Statute? Just what is that?
Well, it's a federal statute passed in the late 1700s.
1700s.
To address problems of piracy so that foreigners could hold Americans accountable for violations of international law on the high seas or in foreign countries. It's not a criminal statute. It allows for civil litigation in federal court for Americans who are accused of serious violations of international law. About 30 years ago or so, the American left began using it as a way to go after multinational corporations for actions in foreign countries, and they would use the hook of this Alien Tort Statute to drag them in the court if they had any connection with the U.S. at all. So if they had, you know, even if they were a foreign corporation, they would almost always have an office in the United States, and then they could go after them in federal court for what they were doing in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then the so-called Center for Constitutional Rights, which is completely misnamed, these are Marxist radicals that have taken this same approach to file this lawsuit against me in which they're claiming crimes against humanity for basically advocating biblical values in Uganda. That's outrageous, it's completely frivolous, but they were able to bring it in because the Alien Tort Statute exists. However, in the interim, the United States Supreme Court has struck down the Alien Tort Statute in most of its aspects. It's still preserved in a very small core. Things that would have been illegal in the 1700s can still be brought into court, but all this sort of, you know, creative litigation is all wiped out. And since that, it was a Kiobel versus Dutch Petroleum case that came down, 2 months ago or so. And since that time, every single lawsuit that was based on the alien torch statute across the country has been dismissed, except mine.
You're special. What was it in September where the federal judge Michael Ponzer, I guess how you pronounce his name, asked for that the lawsuit be dismissed, and he said, "No way." Well, basically, that's what he said. He ruled in August that the lawsuit could continue. This was in August. Ruled that it could continue. And according to a WorldNet Daily article, which says, quote, it could establish that an international consensus disavowing long-held political standards could trump the U.S. Constitution. And Ponzer, in his 80-page ruling, cited many authorities who implicitly support the principle that widespread systematic persecution of individuals based on their sexual orientation and gender identity constitutes a crime against humanity. So this guy obviously is not approaching this in an unbiased manner, which I thought that's what judges were supposed to do. He has an agenda.
Well, I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
I'm not going to argue with you for saying it, but I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
Because I'm still under the, you know, this judge has enormous power.
Yeah, right.
He is holding basically my future in his
hands.
That's
true.
And so, you know, we asked the judge to allow us to appeal the portion of his ruling, because what he was doing, he was denying my motion to dismiss the case.
Right.
And we a part of it was the Kiobel decision, and then when he ruled against us, then we asked him to let us appeal it to the higher court just on the part dealing with the alien tort statute. He denied that too. So we're going forward into discovery, and I'm basically being dragged through this long and difficult process just because this Marxist law firm has been able to find a hook to get me in there. It's ridiculous, and nothing that I did in Uganda is actionable in the United States or in Uganda. They are using a European legal standard, and they don't even meet that standard. They don't even rise to that level, but they're dragging that into the U.S. court. And they're attempting to say that this European legal standard should trump our Constitution.
Yeah.
It's a very dangerous case, and it reflects the direction that the federal judiciary wants to go, at least the leftist parts of it. This is where they want to go. They want to bring the United States under a sort of global legal system, and my case is it may be the biggest step in that direction that we've seen so far. And if I actually lose this lawsuit, it could have major implications on many levels.
And, you know, if you lose, and I know there's a whole appeal process, but do you believe it could end up before the United States Supreme Court, especially since just within the last few months, they handed down this decision that pretty much stripped the...
If it does, even if it goes to the Supreme Court, I mean, based on the law, this case really doesn't have a chance because it's bogus. It's a frivolous case.
Yeah.
But the politics of it are so powerful that this is the heart. This is the heart and soul of the leftist dream to be able to get rid of the American Constitution, to operate under this far left European model of the law, and even our Supreme Court has done that. Look at the person who is the swing vote on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It's Anthony Kennedy, who's written four of the last five majority opinions on the homosexual issue in the United States, and in every single case, he has knocked a bigger and bigger chunk of the Constitution and thrown it away.
Because he's referring to international law. And I know Ruth Bader Ginsburg has also referred to international law in some of her decisions that she's handed down, too.
Right. Yeah, so this is very perilous times.
We're almost on a knife's edge with your lawsuit as far as which direction we go in upholding or not upholding our Constitution, period, or just completely laying it aside and just saying we will just go with allowing the international community to dictate who we are as a country and our intervening laws. Yeah, absolutely.
It needs a lot of prayer.
It really does. And I guess I had not fully realized the constitutional impact that this case had. It's even more frightening than what I thought it was, not only for you, but for the entire country and for all those who stand for traditional values. So they've asked
this judge for a declaratory ruling saying that the incidents described in this case rise to the level of crimes against humanity.
But now, what did you do? You talked.
Right. Well, what they're saying is that the incidents that they're listing as examples of crimes against humanity, there's like six items, and they include the murder of David Kato. Now, David Kato was murdered by a male prostitute.
Right.
You know, it had nothing to do with, you know, it wasn't an enraged homophobe. They left all those facts out of the lawsuit, of course, which is misrepresenting the facts of the judge. And I don't know how they're getting away with it, but that's the biggest thing they have in their list. But for what they're alleging is a 10-year campaign of persecution of homosexuals, they've only come up with six items, and the main item is that it's a murder that was committed by one of their people.
Right, exactly.
Not by a Christian. And then there's a few other things that I agree are civil rights violations, but they don't rise to the level of crimes against humanity. But if this judge, you know, were to rule that, yes, it does, it would lower the standard. This would be taken into the international courts in some capacity, and it would represent a lowering of the standard down to almost nothing. See, what they want to do globally is to criminalize, quote-unquote, homophobia, so that any disapproval of homosexuality becomes illegal anywhere in the world. That's what they want. And this would be a gigantic step in that direction by saying that, you know, basically any kind of civil rights violations whatsoever would make you subject to prosecution under international law. So I don't, you know, hopefully somebody in this process is going to have the integrity to be able to say, no, we're not
going
to do that.
That's not
what the law says. But the politics of it is so dangerous, and we've been seeing a shift away from integrity in every sphere of our society. Politics just seems to be trumping everything, and it's the politics of the far left.
And that's like you're saying, being played out in almost every aspect of the life of the country. It's frightening that they're advancing so quickly, and too many churches or too many who profess to be Christians are remaining silent and not saying, this is it, we're not going any further. We're going to draw the line in the sand, and we're going to stand for biblical truth no matter what it costs us. And try to reclaim the culture.
The fear of God. There's a massive, massive level of compromise with the world in the Christian church. It's a depressing, really shocking and deplorable level of compromise.
American Christians have been too comfortable too long, and they become complacent. You know, they may not even know how to take a stand for biblical truth. If they even understand biblical truth, there's always that question too. Are they getting fed? Do they read scripture? Do they know what the Bible says about being salt and light?
I travel all over the country, and I speak in churches that are bold enough to have me speak, which is saying something already.
Right.
But even in those congregations, the level of biblical literacy is dismal. American Christians have gotten used to taking their Christian doctrine in little tiny bites, Sunday sermons, and that are generally topical in nature anyway, and they don't even know what the Bible teaches on anything.
That's very scary. So now just a matter of wait and see with this case. Is that pretty much what it is? Shuffling paperwork is what I like to call it.
Well, it's going to be a tough situation because I now have to go through the discovery process. So I'm depositions and documents and all the stuff. It's a way for them to harass me.
Yeah.
And so they get to do that for over a year toward the eventual trial, if we ever get one.
Yeah, and Liberty Counsel is representing you, right?
Yeah, excellent. I just have a superb lawyer, Horatio Mihet. Harry Mihet is a wonderful, very, very professional, competent man. And he's backed by the whole team at Liberty Counsel. I couldn't have better representation.
Fantastic. That's good that you've got good legal counsel. Liberty Counsel is definitely an excellent legal organization. Now let's move to the other side of the world, to Russia, right quick. And I think it was in June of this year where Putin signed a law to protect teens and youth from homosexual propaganda, is what it was, the law is. It's been totally misconstrued because homosexual activists are afraid that the 2014 Olympics, which are coming up in February, and they're going to be in Russia, and homosexual activists fear that this law will infringe upon the rights of homosexual Olympians. and we'll silence them, basically, is kind of what the outcry is.
They've set up a campaign. Oh, Brian Kamiker, my friend here in Massachusetts, who runs Mass Resistance,
right.
He infiltrated the Gay and Lesbian Journalists Association about a month or 6 weeks ago and sat in on a seminar session where they were actually laying out a whole strategy to what one leftist journalist called Rainbow Bomb of the Russian Olympics. So they're going to get Olympian contestants and American celebrities and West and European celebrities to use the rainbow image as a protest against the Russian law, and which, incidentally, the Russian law that they passed is the law that I was advocating for in my 50-city tour of the former Soviet Union in 2006 and 2007.
Wow.
So I'm this of 25 years of mostly losing battles on this. It's very frustrating to be a pro-family activist, but this is probably the biggest thing that's ever happened.
Major victory.
And I didn't, you know, it's not exclusively my victory, but I contributed to it by advocating for that. So I have a special interest in seeing it protected. You know, the gays are calling this the brutal Russian law. Which is completely ridiculous. It just prohibits propaganda to children, which almost everybody in the world supports that idea. But they're characterizing it, as they always do, as a pretext for wanting to exterminate homosexuals.
And that's crazy. Same-sex relationships or conduct has been legal in Russia since, I think, 1993.
Yeah.
So it's not...
But Diane, what the listeners need to recognize, very important to see this, is that underneath all of the gay policies and all of the propaganda is the narrative that all disapproval of homosexuality leads inevitably hatred, violence, and murder of homosexuals.
Yeah.
And it's the motive. It creates the sense of urgency in everything that they do, and that anytime they can find anything that helps to support that narrative, then it becomes front and center, and they never stop talking about it. The Matthew Shepard incident, for example. Misrepresentation. The Matthew Shepard turns out to have been a gigantic lie also. That the people killed him were his sex partners.
Yeah. But they're saying it's okay because we got what we wanted out of it. I mean, that's what, I think it was the Washington Blade said that. It's okay that we lied about it because we got what we wanted.
This is the problem with the left. This is cultural Marxism. The whole gay rights movement has emerged from the cultural Marxist strategy from the Frankfurt School that came into the United States in the 30s and 40s, and that it's all about destroying Christian civilization so they can build on the ashes the utopian society, socialist society
that they
envision.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
Oh,
and they,
wow.
You know, anyway, in Russia, Russia's now adopted this policy. The gays are going to rainbow bomb the Olympics. And my idea, in which I wrote a letter to the President Putin and others, but advocating that the Russians just simply take back the rainbow. The rainbow belongs to God.
Yeah.
And that they should do the whole Olympics under a rainbow banner that says the rainbow belongs to God.
Oh, that'd be
even
great.
Put scripture on there. And frankly, I just came back from Moscow.
Uh-huh.
My main purpose in being there was to help plan the World Congress of Families event in next September. But my secondary reason was to talk to people. And I actually had a meeting with the Orthodox Patriarch's right-hand man on family policy. He's sort of like the Orthodox Pope.
Okay.
Russian Orthodox Pope, his right-hand man, and I was on his TV show with him. They love the idea, and it may actually be implemented by the Russians.
Oh, that would be so fantastic
It would just neutralize the whole strategy.
Yeah, that they're...
What the gays want to accomplish is they want to if the Russians do nothing, they're going to come claim, oh, we shame the Russians into not enforcing their policy, etc., and then, or if they do something, you know, which they're not going to, you know, arresting people, whatever, then they get it all on camera, and then they can show the Russians to be
how terrible
great
they are, homophobic they are. Yeah, I know. In our state senate, there's a Philadelphia area state senator who started circulating a co-sponsorship memo recently, and it's a senator Dalen Leach over in Philadelphia area. He is introducing what he's calling his three resolutions under the rubric of To Russia with Rainbows, which follows the same thing. The first resolution would be from the Senate of Pennsylvania condemning Russia's failure to provide a guarantee that our athletes and other citizens will be safe from arrest, prosecution, or other legal or extrajudicial harassment based on, you know, their homosexuality. Of course, Russia has said already numerous times that we will not be arresting Olympians simply because they're homosexual. I mean, they've said that. No, that's
this is, you know, these yeah. guys, it's all about propaganda, and it's the big lie, and they're masters of it. You know, when I was in high school, my original career goal was to be a journalist, and I was a far leftist at the time. And one of the reasons I was going into it is because it was being sold to all the idealistic left-leaning youth as the way to change the world.
Yeah.
And in the 70s, the cultural Marxists took control of all the media, and they've run it ever since. And so, you know, they censor anything that disagrees with
like.
Them, or they spin it in a negative way. But it's all propaganda.
Yeah.
So this is so, and so now you have the activists, and that's why George Soros follows the same model. When he goes into a country to take it over, like Uganda, right? He buys a bunch of media, and then he sets up a grassroots activist network, and then the two work hand in hand. And so the propaganda coming out of the grassroots then becomes the news on the front page of the newspapers, as if it's the reality of things.
Is there anything that we can do to encourage the Russian government to adopt your project?
If you just Google "send a letter to President Putin," just Google that sentence. There is an official form that the Russian government has where you can actually write a letter to the president.
Okay, so just Google "send a letter to President Putin."
Yeah, and then you'll find it. I'm not sure. Exactly
right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, fantastic.
But there is an opportunity to do that. You can just write something and send it off, or get the address off of their website and write a letter. And
so, do you think something like that would be helpful?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, President Putin, I believe, has been encouraged by the response of the conservatives in the Western world.
Good.
That you know, he's had a complete change of fortune in the past few months. The Syria thing is a big part, but also simply signing this law, you know, criminalizing homosexual propaganda to children, has just made him a hero to conservatives all over the world.
I mean, it's just amazing that Russia's done this, and they are so far ahead of us in protecting children from the homosexual propaganda, and we are so far behind and falling
even
further behind.
We're going the other direction,
yeah.
Diane.
Oh, yeah.
It's worse than just it's a reversal of roles.
Yeah,
Russia is now emerging as a defender of biblical values.
Yeah.
And they're trying to clamp down and stop abortion and all kinds of and everything else. And meanwhile, the United States is turning into a gay Soviet
Union.
We're
falling off the cliff.
We're people who disagree. You know, there's censorship of all opinions. The media is under the iron grip of people with one viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get into the mainstream media without unless you have that. Fox News is somewhat of a anomaly
somewhat,
but not completely. You know, but they're falling into that hole too, and you know, so and then people who hold positions like you and I do are being punished.
Yeah.
You know, people who stand up and who just saying marriage should be between a man and a woman is enough to get people fired, kicked out of the military, and losing their job.
I know. If folks wanted to contact you, how could they do that?
Just through my website, defendthefamily.com.
Okay.
There's an email opportunity. They can contact me through there. And then that website, defendthefamily.com, is all free resources. All my books that I've written, all the articles, they're all available there. And there's a link there on the right side of that homepage to my blog, which is scottlively.net. And I've got tons of material there. Everything that I do is designed for the purpose of helping pro-family advocates all over the world to be able to stand up on this issue, to understand the homosexual agenda, and respond to it effectively. So 25 years of work is all available for you free to use the best of your ability to help to roll back this very, very destructive agenda.
Yeah, so it's defendthefamily.com, and there's a link there to your blog, scottlively.net, with all the resources that are available on both those sites. Is that
right? I'm a missionary to the pro-family movement.
Yeah.
That's how I describe myself. And anything I can do to help, I want to do it.
We appreciate that. We appreciate all your work and your courage and your with the Lord's help, standing up under the pressure of all of this, you know, the lawsuit and the attacks, continual attacks against you for your willingness and the bravery that the Lord's given you to stand up for biblical values. We really appreciate that. So I encourage folks to go to defendthefamily.com and check out the resources there and then the link there to his blog, scottlively.net. Thanks so much,
just
Scott.
Send me an email. I'll put you on my list, and you can be getting all this information, too, that I put out on a regular basis.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I get that. That's how I've kept up to date with kind of what's going on, what's going on with you. But I really appreciate that. I encourage folks to go to defendthefamily.com. And you take care, Scott, and we'll be praying for you.
God bless you, Diane.
Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.